Hello, and welcome to Marriage University. My name is Tina Heisman. I'm a certified master life coach specializing in marriage. The topic for today's podcast is what to do when your husband is crabby. But before I get started, I want to let you know that I have a free, private, Happy Wives community on Facebook where you can come to get inspiration for your marriage. Search The Happy Wives Community on Facebook in the search bar, or you can just head over to my website, tinaheisman.com, and click on the banner at the bottom of the front page. And also on my website, I have a free download called the Marriage Makeover Guide. It's a guide to help you make over your marriage into a happier, more joyful, peaceful place. I like to refer to it as a solution tool, and you can use it to plug in different issues or challenges that you might have in your marriage. So just visit my website to download it. Okay, so let's dive in and talk about what to do when your husband is crabby. So, as often, inspiration for this came from my own life. The other day, my husband came home from work and he was crabby, and he shared with me like what he was frustrated about, and I let him tell a story and made sure to be a good listener, you know, stop what I was doing to actively listen. And I expressed my understanding, of how frustrating that he must have been feeling. And I want to be really honest with you. As I was listening to him, I had a lot of judgment around what he was telling me. I honestly thought that he wasn't seeing things clearly and that he wasn't in a good place to see it. And I mean, like, I had judgmental thoughts, like, you know, he's just wanting everyone to agree with him. He's just wanting easy answers, you know, and I think how he was feeling like everyone else was making things harder than they needed to be. And he just wanted to do what he wanted to do and move forward and not waste any time. And although there's a time and a place for that, sometimes we do need to, as you know, right, take more time to make decisions and do research on certain things. And so it was interesting because I was supportive of him, but I'm sharing with you that I had negative thoughts in my head because I want you to know that if you have that happen to you, and I know a lot of us do, that's normal. And our job is to not act on that all the time, is to filter and allow things to play out a little bit. And so I held those thoughts captive because one thing that I have learned is that when I hold those kinds of thoughts captive, it's actually more helpful and loving for my spouse than if I were to just tell him exactly what I was thinking, which my intention of telling him what I was thinking would be to help him, but it just does not come off that way, especially when you're talking from a female to a male. And so that I've just learned over the years that everything that comes into my mind does not need to come out of my mouth. So I want to share this with you. In the past, I would have probably pushed him to talk about it more. You know, I might have engaged him more. I would have probably shared my opinion, which would have been basically telling him that he was wrong. You know, I would have told him what I thought he should do. And you can imagine how he would have reacted to that, right? He probably would have reacted negatively to that because now someone else is adding fuel from the outside to this fire. And I, in the past, I'm certain that I have let his crabbiness affect me and infect me. And then what happens? You know, now he's crabby and I'm crabby and we're both crabby. And now there's like relationship tension for no good reason, right? And so over the years, just learning that my job as a wife is to be supportive, not create more stress, and to know that there's a time and a place to share my thoughts and my feelings. And thankfully, yeah, I have just learned so much and let him lead the way on this particular evening and let him do what he wanted to do with his emotions. And I did not take them on as my own emotions. So that was a real positive for me. And, you know, it wasn't an awful night or anything. He wasn't unbearable. You know, he was just crabby. You know how that is. You're just kind of simmering inside your own mind and maybe not very talkative or something. So it was just kind of one of those nights for him. And we all have those. But anyway, I did try to think, like, what could I do to build him up, to something totally unrelated, and it actually wasn't very hard on this particular evening. He was working outside fixing a broken sprinkler in our lawn when I was leaving to go pick up our daughter from her dance class. So as I was sitting in the car waiting for her to come out of dance, I sent him a quick text that said, "You are so awesome. I love that you can fix anything. Thank you for fixing the sprinklers." And I really mean that, because if we had to call someone to come out and fix it, and we would have to spend a lot of money on it, and I really value that he can fix these things. And so that was a really genuine thank you and appreciation from me. And so that just was something positive in his evening, at least that he was appreciated for something, right? We can all use a little more of that in our life. So as the evening, you know, went on, we were going to bed later, and I thought about bringing it up and talking about it more. And kind of the reason for that is because men do tend to talk better when they don't have to look at us right in our eyes, because that can be really overwhelming for them. And so in laying in bed at night in the dark can be a really safe place for them to talk and share more intimate, you know, feelings or details about whatever might be bothering them. So I thought about it, but then I thought better of it. I just thought, you know what, he's exhausted, and I wasn't sure anything productive would come out of it. And so instead I prayed for him. I prayed that God would help grant him the wisdom to see the situation with fresh eyes in the morning, you know, after a good night's sleep, and then that God would help him find some solutions that would work. And so the next morning, well, it's a little personal, but I woke him up early for maybe a little bit of intimate time, because I don't know if any of you have teenagers yet, but they tend to stay up later than adults, and so that can be interesting. Goodness, times have changed from when they were little and went to sleep at 7 o'clock at night. But anyway, I digress. So we went outside in the morning and we had coffee, and we were kind of, it was shortly after sunrise, so it was just like a really quiet, peaceful time outside. The weather was perfect and birds were chirping. We just had a nice time sitting outside drinking our coffee. I was working on my prayer time and he was working on his computer, and I really didn't know what he was up to, but I had a feeling he might be working on fixing his problem. But neither of us had enough coffee at first to really talk about things. So I finished up my prayer time and then I went inside to work out. And when I was finished, he came inside and he shared with me that he had found solutions to his problem. And he had taken several action steps toward getting them going in the right direction. And I could really see and feel his happy and hopeful mood. And he actually said, "I just couldn't deal with it yesterday. I was too burned out." Right? So I was really glad that I just let it be, because sometimes we're just too burned out to think creatively or to talk or to work through problems or anything, right? And so I loved the action steps that he shared with me that he took. I thought they were awesome, and I loved his new found enthusiasm for the situation. And then the next thing that came out of his mouth, he said, "Do you want me to drive Tyler to summer school?" I was like, "Well, yeah, that would be awesome." And so I'm just sharing that with you because it was like a total, you know, 180 turnaround. And it was because I let go, you know, because I was supportive and I waited to say my opinion. And it turned out I didn't even need to share it, right? He figured it out on his own, and he's fully capable of it. But sometimes I think we women, we push them like to talk about things, or we want to give them advice, or we take their crabbiness personally. But none of that is necessary or even healthy. And the other thing I want to share with you is that when we give our husband advice on how to handle his problems, the message he hears is that we think he is not capable of figuring it out on his own. And that really hurts him deeply. And I'm sure that if you've been listening to my podcast, you know that author Shanti Feldhahn has taught us a lot about men and what they think about. That there's a series of questions that haunt men. Those questions are, am I able? Do I measure up? Am I any good at what I do? When they were surveyed, 75 to 85% of men said these questions are circulating in their minds most of the time. Ladies, more than anything, our husbands want to know that we think they are rock stars, that we think they can handle any problem that comes their way. So when we offer suggestions to our husband's problems, we're actually doing more harm than good. And I know we're trying to do good, but we don't realize that somewhere along the way in life, no one taught us this. It would be better for us, if you feel like we need to say something, it would be better for us to say, I believe in you and I know you'll figure it out. You know, you could even say like, I'm sure after you sleep on it or ponder it on it for a while, you'll figure it out. I believe in you. Do you know that would go so far into building him up? It would go so far. And so a little tidbit here, I'm going to get brave and say this. That little tidbit I mentioned to you earlier about spending some intimate time in the morning with your husband. Well, that it doesn't have to be in the morning. I'm just saying the intimacy part. That was by design as well. Because here's the thing. I know that culture tells us that sex for a man is primarily a physical desire. But research proves otherwise, recent research. It's a deeply emotional experience for our husbands. When our husbands know that we desire them, it gives them confidence in every other area of their lives. It speaks to their hearts. It tells them that they are enough and that we want to be with them. That's huge. So think about this. Your husband has a rough day at work. He's feeling down and frustrated, but there you are, strong and supportive and even desiring him, and desiring him at a time when he feels like the rest of the world is against him. That is powerful stuff because you are the most influential person in his life. And so just imagine when you are approaching it in that way, as opposed to the old way that I told you about, you know, trying to offer advice and help them, that there's a fight and everything else, and intimacy is the last thing on either of your minds. But look at the difference that can happen when we step back, you know, and we let them do their thing, and we just be strong and supportive, and then even show them a little bit of affection that makes them feel like they can conquer the world and they can do anything. It's powerful stuff. So keep that in your back pocket for some day in the future. And I want you guys to make sure that you know that I'm sharing with you today a story of a situation that I feel like I handled well, but there's plenty of times when I don't handle them well. And if you've listened to enough podcasts, you know that I do share those times where I goof up. And so I want you to understand that, you know, when you have those negative thoughts, that's normal. Our job is to battle them, to not let them win, to take control of them, to hold them captive. That's what God asks us to do, right? To hold our thoughts captive. We could let that negativity take over and it can ruin everything. We've got to be strong, right? And so let's go out there into our relationships remembering that, and you will see huge improvements from it. But I know this is easier said than done. So if you would like to work on this with a coach, reach out to me. I have some great tools. I'll offer you, you know, one-on-one support, and you can come to me with your exact problems and challenges and we can talk them through, and you'll be having a much healthier and more peaceful relationship as a result of it. So thank you so much for listening in, and let me know if you have any specific questions. And remember, I have created a free marriage makeover guide to help you fix challenges in your marriage. Just head over to my website, tinaheisman.com, to download your copy for free. And don't forget to join the Happy Wives community on Facebook. It's the Happy Wives community. And I think that's it for today. Very interesting talks, and I hope that it's helpful. Have a great day. See you next week.